Welcome to another episode of Walleye Chronicles, a partnership between Fix Productions and Smilin' Fish, where we talk about an oral history of walleye fishing told through each and every one of you. Doesn't matter if you're poor, rich, from the shore, or in a boat. This is what we want to talk about is walleye fishing and fishing in general. So I want to welcome today David Landsteiner, also known to some of you as Delta Walleye. He's with me today to kind of talk about walleye fishing. How are you doing, David?
Pretty good, Matt. Nice to be here.
Awesome. So right into it, what was your childhood like? Did you grow up poor, rich? Kind of what were you?
I would say middle class in the first part of my childhood. My mom was working in a medical facility lab, and she ended up going back to med school. So there was a period of time where it was probably that lower middle class, and it kind of changed as she graduated later on and became a doctor and that sort of thing.
Oh, so nice.
We went from one spectrum to
the other. Your lure selection got doubled after a while, it sounds like.
Not quite, but.
Where'd you grow up?
I grew up around the Northfield area, which is just south of the Twin Cities, about an hour.
Nice. Okay. So what's your first fishing memory?
It's a tie because I don't know which one came first, but one of them is being pulled in a sled on a lake by my dad.
Okay.
The other one is a spring chasing crappies in it's an inflow creek that it's called Shields Lake, if some of you might know of it, near Faribault, Minnesota. And every spring, about this time, maybe a week or two ago from now, they come up there, and we used to go to the bridge and fish crappies and catch them pretty good.
Was this bobber fishing or?
Yeah, just bobber, flues, that sort of thing.
Nice.
Hit anything.
And I always keeping, right? Always keeping them?
Usually back then, yeah, we'd keep everything.
You know? Right? It's funny how that works now.
Yeah.
So what's your first walleye memory that you can remember?
I have a few of them. The main river system where I grew up was the Cannon River. And as a kid, I would I'd spend the summers at my grandma's place in Faribault. And there was a place called the King Mill Dam where there was a couple of, I think it was Wells Lake right above it. And right below it, they'd have the migratory spring, you know, fish or whatever. Yep. So we would go down there and walk probably about a mile or so. My friend and I, his name is Zach. I haven't talked to him for years. But in order for us to fish, we would have to collect couch change to get enough for a half a scoop of minnows. I think it was like $1.25.
What was the bait shop?
It was called Nagel's.
Nagel's?
Okay. They're no longer in business. And then there was one called Fisherman's Court right across there. But I think Nagel's was slightly cheaper for the minnows.
So. Right. Was it just bait or was there bait and other things? Or
They had other things. Okay. It was maybe a 3 or 4 aisle
bait
store.
That's
but
cool.
It was another block down past the dam. So we either rode bikes or walked there. And that was what we did almost every single day.
Wow. And it's funny. You say river and a dam and all walleye guys are like, oh, damn, right?
Yeah.
You set it up. So was it just like river rigs or... How were you fishing for those guys?
Back then, we were just biting for whatever would bite.
Okay.
You know, we would cast out there with a variety of, you know, the twister tails, like the 3-inch twister tails.
Yep.
We would fish under a bobber, some of the slower water, and catch crappies, depending on the time of year, bass, sheephead, bullhead, a lot of bullheads in there.
You know, you said Mr. Twister, that like just immediately brought back my child. Once you figured out Mr. Twisters, mm-hmm. his life was awesome.
Yeah. Yep. There was always a 1/4-ounce jig
yep.
with a white twister tail or chartreuse and maybe yellow, it seemed like.
So us was always yellow and white. There was chartreuse generally wasn't part of my childhood at least, but I guess dad was buying it. So whatever color he liked, that was what we were using. So you went down there and fished, and that was that every day? It was pretty much
yeah,
all you remember?
Every day I could, I would do that and became real familiar with it and ended up doing a couple like kids fishing tournaments that were there and that sort of stuff. So
there's a lot of people there when you're there or just kind of you guys have it to yourself? I mean, I think of my childhood where we fished and it was basically us because there wasn't a lot of other kids that fished.
Yeah, I would say on an average time, there's only 3 or 4 people down there. You know, on both, you could go on both sides. There was walls that you could fish vertically above them with steps going up the side of the dam. And
nice. It was like a perfect fishing environment.
Yeah.
Up, right. No trees, no sticks, none of the way. Just kind of nice.
Just a lot of jagged rocks out there.
So you did a lot of shore fishing growing up as a kid. Did you have a boat or when did you get a boat or when the boats come into your life, I guess?
So I think my first boat was probably about 15 years ago now. It was a 17-foot Starcraft and had basic electronics on it and everything. So that was my first boat that it was mine mm-hmm. that I had saved up for and bought and use it in southern Minnesota quite a bit. I ended up at the time was an airline pilot. And so I was traveling a lot. So I got to take that boat to South Dakota. I fished a little bit around Bull Bridge, took another job out by Detroit, ended up fishing like Lake Huron and some of the stuff out there.
Seems like you take jobs where there's fishing.
It seems like it.
There's people go, I had a job in Mulbridge, I had a job in Detroit. What's next, Gary? Or
yeah, you get to bid where your domicile was.
Okay, I got
so you. When I started out, my first domicile was Massena, New York, which I think there's fishing up there too, but it was a long ways from home. And by the time training was done, I was in Kansas City where I met my wife, and I told her, I said, we need to get somewhere back closer to Minnesota, and Huron, South Dakota was where we ended up going.
Closer. I mean,
that's pheasant hunting and fishing,
right? There. It doesn't get any better than that. So, what things have you taken from them early days fishing in the river there below the dam that you use today for fishing or your personal life? Or,
for me, it's always been the chase for like the fishing. In some days, you know, when you get the dog days when it's just really hot and the water's low and you don't catch a lot, or maybe the species changes to carp or something like that. But you know, when you're given limited options of where you can fish when you're a kid, you just know that some days aren't going to be great.
Yeah.
And it's still today, some days you're going to get on them, sometimes you're not.
Right. What was your favorite bait back then? My favorite lure?
I did like the twister tail. As I got a little bit older, we had a lake cabin up by Bemidji, Minnesota.
Okay.
And it was called Evergreen Lake. Nobody could catch walleyes in there. It was gin clear. And they said, there are walleyes in here, but nobody catches them. And I remember going out with a 14-foot aluminum boat with just your clamp-on trolling motor and, you know, honking a battery down the hill down there to get it in. And
those are heavy batteries. Not those batteries we were playing with today.
Right. Got it in there, and there was the brake line there. I was from 8 to 12 feet. I would troll a long line with a Husky jerk. It was, I don't even know if they make the color. It's kind of an orange belly and kind of a greenish sides. And I would go super slow. It was about beginning of June every year. And I just do that brake line. I twitch it or whatever and just whack. And I'd crack, you know, 4 or 5 walleyes in a half hour. And then everybody in the lake couldn't believe that they were actually being caught, you know.
That's
so
crazy. That's pretty awesome. Compared to now, what's your favorite lure now? What's your favorite lure? Yeah.
I do like fishing with like shiver minnows and like any kind of jigging stuff vertically. Something about just, you know, just when they get a little bit more aggressive and you run into a fish when you just lift up.
Is that your favorite technique? Are you a troller? Do you troll much?
So I should tell you. So I think I'm a better troller.
Okay.
Than I am a caster, but I like casting. So I just take whatever I can get, you know, at any time.
So, but you do troll?
Mm-hmm. Quite a bit. That's what I'll be doing later today.
That's cool. What else we got here? So do you shore fish now or no? Not shore fishing?
Yeah, absolutely.
Still do?
I fish. That's the thing about me is like I fish for anything that bites. I fly fish quite a bit.
Okay.
Ice fish.
Like fly fish, like the fly fish?
Yeah, the actual, like a 3-weight, a 5-weight, a 9-weight.
See, my childhood growing up, fly fishing was just the same cricks, and you just flip a spinning reel out there with the hook and a night crawler and
call it. I do that. That's the thing, too, is I'm not a purist either. Like some of the fly fishermen, they love fly fishing.
Right.
That's all they'll do.
Right.
No live bait.
Right.
And for me, I'm like, well, I'll do that and I'll do that. Like, I'm not going to discriminate. I'm going to do whatever works, you know?
You're just here to catch fish.
Yeah.
Wow. So do you take any fly fishing stuff that you use into your regular thing? Is there anything like that?
Well, just to say that, because
I have a fly fish in front of me. Is there anything like that you do that's kind of transfers back and forth?
Reading current seams is one thing comes in big. But you know, as far as like actually pulling flies, I did it at Illinois River. You know, I hand tie my own stuff.
Okay.
And it was kind of fulfilling to catch a walleye, or I guess it was a sauger, on a fly that I tied. And then I came here yesterday and started pulling them, and I got into the white bass pretty good. But still looking for that first. I don't think I've caught a walleye on a fly yet. So maybe that'll be this week.
I hope so. I hope we catch them. I think it's going to be that probably will be a technique that's used pretty heavily. So, what's your favorite body water? Growing up, what was your favorite place? Where's the place that you, besides the dam, was there a place that you wanted to go that you're like, hey, can you take me here? Hey, can I go? How can I get this place?
Well, I was limited to where we go, usually the lake cabins.
Okay.
And we would do either like launches, like the party boat launches on the Mille Lacs, whether you do night slip bobber fishing. So that's always fun. You can get into a pile of fish there usually. We had a lake cabin, you know, for a while on Evergreen, and also Sand Lake, which is in Itasca County, part of the Bowstring chain. And we would, in June's usually, we would get into them, you know, pulling spinners or Lindy rigs and that sort of stuff. Right. So that would be one place that I enjoyed going up there when I was a kid.
What about now? Where do you?
So Pool 4, the Mississippi River.
Okay.
Red Wing. I spent a lot of time this spring. Last summer, I took my boy over there. We started trolling planer boards and bigger baits and did pretty good. And so that's been my latest challenge, is to try to have my home body of water be, you know, actually something that I'm really comfortable fishing. So I've been,
I suppose, moving around, you don't have that childhood on up through fishing body water.
Yeah, it's just been, it's been spread out quite a bit, but it, you know, makes you a better well-rounded angler, but you don't have, it's a, what they say, that jack of all trades but master of none. Haven't mastered a body of water yet. Right. So
that's, I mean, I think, did you ever though, really? I mean, yeah. I've spent my time on Winnebago pretty much, you know, my adult time fishing out there, and as a kid fishing on the system. And like you said, I feel like I can do everything really ish good, but I can't do it. I don't think I own the lake yet, right? You know,
it's always more to learn.
Seems like. There's always something. There's always something extra. There's always a new technique and new stuff that, you know, I didn't grow up fishing. It was, you know, I would say, I mean, I grew up fishing, but I didn't grow up fishing some of this stuff. I mean, you know, pulling flies were around, but in our day, it was kind of more just, you know, live bait. You know, you're doing the same basic thing, but without a fly on there.
Yep.
What is your least favorite place to go fishing?
Least, I don't know, I if mean, there's a.
You sound like you like fishing no matter where you go. I could put you in a puddle, I mean, probably.
So one of my dreams also, when I was a kid, I didn't mention this, but my other friend, Matt, he had a pond, private pond. And he lived about 3 miles away on the gravel roads. And so when I wasn't fishing the cannon, I would take the bike and drive over to his place. And we'd go for bluegills, big, you know, pound and a quarter bluegills.
Right.
And so I was envious. I wanted my own pond too. Right. So now I do have that, actually. Finally, after my dream place, I don't know, 7 or 8 years ago, we got a place in the country with 5 acres, and it had a pond on it, but the pond was low. The dam was deteriorated, where the outflow has been kind of like rusted over time, that sort of thing. So what should have been about a 14-foot dam or 14-foot pond or lake was about 6.5, 7 feet. And there were some fish in there, but because there was a creek that actually flew through, that kept from winter kill. And so I ended up, you know, finally about, was it last year? Yeah, last year, bought the 10 acres with the dam on it. So we repaired it, and now I have a full like 5.5, 6 acre pond.
Nice. So you're building all the, like, the structure in there and all the stuff for mineral habitat?
Artificial Christmas trees. we've got, let's see, I bought some, I went to Menards and they had lily pads. So we got some lily pads going to grow on the shore. It's kind of cool just to kind of plan it all out and make it your own.
So are you buying fish then? Can you buy fish
meat? You can buy them from a hatchery. There are some already in there and that sort of stuff. But yeah, you can.
I don't know if it, because it had the crick, if you could just randomly throw fish in there.
Yeah, there are definitely currently species in there. There's panfish and that sort of stuff. But
so you're hoping just the bass and bluegill lake? Or?
Yeah, bass, bluegill. It'd be nice to get walleye in there, you know. I just don't know. You know, they don't thrive usually in that pond environment. But we'll see. We'll see what happens.
You never know.
Put and take.
Right. what's your favorite technique to fish walleyes? Or to fish in general, actually?
So I've been trying to lately try to get more comfortable with the front facing sonar, and it's something
you and me both.
Something satisfying about seeing that mark and seeing how they react, you know. And this last spring, I went down to Clear Lake, Iowa, and starting to get more practice on the water using it, and and had a couple nights where I caught 6 or 7. I'm using that technique, and it comes to the point where you're not even casting anymore. You're like, why would I cast there? There's no fish.
Right. Yeah, that is correct. But you're right. I literally had that same brain thought yesterday, and I'm like, well, there's nothing there. But I'm like, well, there's rocks there. There's rocks there. They could be tucked in there. Yeah. You know, it's kind of that different thought of thinking you kind of have to get into, which is.
For the full version of this podcast, check out Fix TV, and remember, follow me on the talk at Smilin' Fish. And everywhere else at Matt Snell.